Okay, I'm Deb. I'll tell you a little bit about me in the second half. This is for the kids, but it's for you too. In fact, I didn't really think about the kids, but it does really work for the kids. Do you want to come around the front? If the air conditioning blows it out, that might be a problem. See how you go. Maybe Dad can help. Now, my talk today is, I've divided it into two because the kids are in first. So, and as it happens, the second half of my talk is the part with the illustrations. So we'll do that first, which will be interesting because then I'll have to do all the lessons backwards. But I'm sure you can manage that. Now, Jesus gave us some images about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. We're having trouble, are we? It's working. Oh, dear. Looks like the air conditioner is very... All right, so Jesus gave us some images about the kingdom of heaven, which we've probably all puzzled over many times in our lives. I certainly have. And I'd like to discuss three of them today in a way that the kids can relate to. Jesus said to his followers, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored?" You kids want to sit on the floor? And you can sit here and see the slides, that's fine. I'm just a bit worried about them being near these lights, that's all. So you can sit down on the floor so you can see the slides, because these will be good for you. So this idea used to puzzle me for a number of reasons. It was like, you know, what does he mean the salt of the earth? And what does it mean for salt to lose its taste? You know, I've got a science teacher for a husband, so I know that, you know, sodium chloride doesn't lose its taste. And, you know, I've always been a bit confused about that. Well, it helped when I realised what salt is mostly used for. Mostly used for. What is it used for every day? What do we use it for mostly? Kids, what do we use salt for mostly?
Preserving.
Preserving is where I ended up, you know, down in a dead end somewhere, and I just couldn't work out what this parable was about. Yes, preserving, but that's not its main use. What's the main use for salt?
Taste.
And, you know, as Jesus said, if it's lost its taste. So this is actually about taste. Salt is used for preserving. It's not preserving. For taste, for flavouring food. When salt is scattered over food, now let's get some salt here. When salt is scattered over food, each little grain flavours its own little area of food, doesn't it? So here's some salt. And when you tip it onto your food, do you do this? Do you do that?
No.
What do you do? You scatter it, like this. Like this. Sorry to the person who's vacuuming afterwards. Yes, oops, I won't get it on your grapes or your popcorn. Oh, maybe it should go on the popcorn. You scatter it like all over. You don't want too much in one spot, do you? So salt is supposed to flavour food, but it's supposed to be scattered. Now, what happens if it's all heaped together? What does it do? What does it do? If it's all heaped together in a place. Tastes bad, tastes revolting, said somebody. And it will kill whatever is under it. It stops things growing and it makes things sterile. Jesus said that if salt doesn't taste good anymore, it won't be good for anything except to be thrown out on the road, which they did in ancient times. And why do you think they did that? Throw it on the road? Because it stops the weeds growing. It kills whatever is under it. Now, with salt on food, a little is good, a lot is not so good, and the main thing is to be scattered evenly. So, if Jesus said you are the salt of the earth, that means Christians are like salt on food. One, they need to be tasty, and two, not spread too thick. Remember, each single grain flavours the food around it. So hold that thought, because there's more on that theme from the other two images. Jesus also said, we should not be hiding our light under a bushel, that is, popping a basket or a bowl over our lamp. Sometimes I think church can be a lot like this. Now just imagine these are 10 tea lights, not three, but we had some trouble lighting them. Sometimes I think church can be a bit like this, a little lights all bunched up together under a bushel, a roof, all hiding from real life. Now it is necessary to come together to brighten up our lights, to charge each other up, but the real Christian life is lived out there, out and about. Now there are several songs about being Jesus' little light. Do you kids know any songs about being a light? Do you know that one that goes, Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light? And it says, you in your small corner and I in mine. So we're all in our own little place in the world. So what good are 100 tea lights at a party unless they are spread out all around the house and garden so we can find our way? If they're all gathered together on a table in the middle of the house, they are not much use. So like the grains of salt, the tea lights have to be scattered for best effect. Pretty, aren't they? So here's another image with the same general idea, and it's also a Kingdom of Heaven parable. Jesus said to them, the Kingdom of Heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Now, I've got some yeast in some bread here, but here is some yeast in the packet. Who can see this yeast in the packet? See this? Do you know this is full of living creatures? It is. It's full of living creatures. Every little tiny grain of yeast is a whole lot of tiny yeast animals, organisms, and they will eat the flour in your dough, and while they do that, they make gas, and that gas makes bubbles, and those bubbles are what makes your bread nice and light and fluffy. What do you think would happen if you just mix flour and water and put no yeast and then put it in the oven? What would it be like?
Tiny.
It wouldn't rise up, and it would be very gooey and hard to chew, and you wouldn't like it very much. These little animals in this packet are what make your bread nice and spongy and light and chewy.
Aren't they eating through the packet?
Well, that's interesting. What do you do with yeast if you don't want it to die, if you don't want it to get all worn out and go dormant?
Keep it cold.
You keep it cold, you put it in the freezer. So, you know, when Jesus said the Kingdom of Heaven is like yeast, which a woman hid in a measure of dough, you think about it, it's supposed to be working, isn't it? It's supposed to be working with flour, and if it's not working, it's in the freezer doing nothing. So this is another one of Jesus' images of being scattered, in this case in the dough, being mixed into the dough. So here we have...
Are you actually going to make bread?
You're going to make bread today. Yes, you're going to make bread with this after I finish this little talk. Here's the dough. Now, in the olden days, they didn't have packets of freeze-dried yeast they could just sprinkle into their dough. They kept a little piece of dough from today's bake. They kept a little piece of dough. Ooh. And they mixed it in with the flour and the water tomorrow. And this, then, was the yeast for tomorrow's bread. But now, the men in the factory just make it. It's dried and it's powdery, and you can just mix it in with your dough. So here we are. This dough is rising. When I first made this dough, it was half that size, and now it's getting big. And if I left it all day, especially if I put it out in the sun, it would fill this whole bowl and overflow. Right, so let's move on. So, I've missed my yeast slides talking about that. There we are, there's the bubbly yeast working on the flour. And there it is rising up in the bowl. Can you see that?
It's overflowing.
It almost is, it is. And there's the nice bread. See all those little bubbles in the bread? That comes from the gas that the yeast makes. It's interesting that Jesus here talks about yeast as a good thing. The Jews viewed it negatively as corruption. But yeast lightens and softens the dough, makes it more digestible. I would rather eat leavened bread than unleavened bread. Now, the point of Jesus' image, as with the salt and as with the lights, is that it needs to be distributed to work. if it's not distributed, it's good for nothing, as with the salt and as with the lights. So life is full of little opportunities. Oops, that's the wrong one. Life is full of little opportunities to be salt, yeast and light. We may not have great callings or special works to do or charities to run, but every Christian in their own little circle of the world is one less cheat, one less liar, one less abuser, one less hater, one less snob in his or her own little network. Every one of us has one grain of salt, as one tea light, as one tiny particle of yeast, living thing. Every one of us needs to be out there making a difference in our own little circle of darkness, flatness, and tastelessness. If as a grain of salt we only hang out with other grains of salt, what use are we? And if as a little light we only stick close to other little lights, how will we light the furthest reaches of darkness? And if yeast is not mixed into the flour and the water, it's got nothing to work on and nothing to live in. It won't be good for anything. I'm leaning to the idea more and more that being a Christian is just something you are, by the grace of God, while you set about your life in a troubled world, which is hopefully just that little bit less troubled because you're doing your little bit in your little circle. I think that's what the kingdom that Jesus was talking about was intended to do, to save the world one spot at a time. What is really important is that we do no harm, and hopefully a little good or even a lot of good, which will be hard to know until it's all over, and then only by those who have been sprinkled with our salt, who have seen our lights and have been softened and raised up by our leavening. We may have a church fantasy that looks a little bit like this: cozy, manageable, intimate. We pretty much know all the same people, where all our social and spiritual needs are met in one place. I do know of some churches that aim for that, to be one big happy family, to fill everyone's social needs so we don't have to go out there for friends. But is that really healthy? Sometimes it can look like this. That's a bit sad, isn't it? Is this the model that Jesus was talking about when he talked about salt, yeast and light? It's not the same, is it? The salt is scattered on food. The light is shed in darkness, and the yeast works on flour. In actual fact, we all have our own unique social footprint, and they don't overlap all that much, and that's how it should be. The first Christian converts, the very first ones in the first century, were already in their own lives. They already had their own networks. And for a while, each one was the only Christian that their friends knew. That is why the gospel spread so fast, because each convert knew more people who weren't Christians than people who were. Our social networks are fluid, organic, natural and circumstantial. The people in our lives are there for different reasons, and they just happen to be there. We've picked one up here and one up there, you know, one from work, some family members, the lady next door, some kids at school. The children of our friends especially are the ones who need us to be like salt, light and yeast. What's really important is that we do no harm, first of all, to the people in our lives, and hopefully a little good. Now, communal meals are always good to have, but there are other hungers that we can fill today. Hunger for acceptance, honesty, inclusion, wisdom, meaning, joy, and there are other needs that we can fill. Needs for expertise, practical skills, labour, company, or just showing some interest in someone. We can be salt, yeast and light in our own social lives right where we are with the people we already have. So here is a quote from Tom Wright. He says, "It seems that we humans were designed to find our purpose and meaning not simply in ourselves and our own inner lives, but in one another and in the shared meaning and purposes of a family, a street, a workplace, a community, a town, and a nation." So everyone, get out there and be scattered. But do come back here on Sunday. But just be one grain of salt wherever you fall, one little light wherever you are, and get busy like one little yeast creature working to soften and raise the world.